there are three times when the thought is of the free gift. The free gift. And that's what we want to think about tonight, friends. Christmas has come, and we've been celebrating the coming into the world of the little baby Jesus as the Saviour. We know that the wise men brought gifts, and whenever Christmas time comes, this time of the year, we buy gifts, we buy presents, and we present them to some of our families and some of our friends. Very often the gifts that we receive and the gifts that are sent, they mean something, they're purposeful. But we want to think for a moment or two tonight about this gift, this free gift. The gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gift of eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And with every gift, dear friends, there has to be a giver. And I want us to think in these verses here, there are five things I want to show you from these verses that we've read together here. First of all, I want you to see the giver. For someone to receive a gift, there has to be a giver. Someone has gone out and purchased something that's of value to them. And having purchased something that's of value to them, then they pass it on to the receiver. Now I want us to think for a moment or two tonight about the giver. Who is the giver of this gift, this free gift? Who is the giver of this grace that we've been singing about tonight? Who is the giver, dear friends, of the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ as that little baby in Bethlehem that he might go all the way to the cross? It is God tonight. It is God, the Heavenly Father tonight. And I wanted to see something about this person, God, because we find the word God there in one of the verses that we read together. First of all, dear friends, you'll find it there in verse 1. The giver of this gift, he is a God of peace. He is a God of peace. And that would indicate to me tonight, dear friends, that there's a conflict. There is a barrier. There's a conflict. There's a battle there. There's a division there tonight. There's separation there tonight. And so we see this God of peace here. He sets his mind, and if you like, he sets his will tonight to try and close this barrier, to try and close this gap that there is here. He's a God of peace. And if you look at verse 2, you not only will you find that he's a God of peace, but you'll find, dear friends, he's a God of glory tonight. He's a God of glory tonight. Look what it says in verse 2. For whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. He's a God of peace. He's a God of glory. Look at verses 5 to 8. We don't have time to go into tonight. Friends, he's a God of love tonight. That's why when I was looking through the hymn book there earlier on, I come on the words of that beautiful hymn. Love lifted me. Love lifted me where no one but Christ could help. Love lifted me. God, the giver tonight, friends, he's a God of peace. He's a God of glory. He's a God of love. And verse 10 tells me that he's also a God of reconciliation. Here we have the barrier now. A God of peace. There's a conflict there. There's a chasm there tonight, friends. That chasm tonight is sin. God is seated in the glory tonight. That sinful man is on the earth tonight. And there's a barrier of sin in between. And this God of peace and this God of glory and this God of love, he's a God of reconciliation. He's trying to bring himself and bring sinful man together. Sinful man tries to do it his way tonight. Some people try to do it by good works. Other people do it tonight, dear friends, by attending their church. But our God tonight has got a different means of doing it. He's got a special way of doing it here. He's the giver tonight of these free gifts. Verse 11 tells me that he's a God of joy. I want you to notice, friends, that joy just comes after reconciliation. Reconciliation is in verse 10. Joy comes in verse 11. There cannot be any joy tonight in your heart unless, first of all, you've been reconciled to God. That's why we teach the children in the Sunday school and the Good News clubs, joy, 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 with joy my heart is ringing, joy, joy, joy. His love to me is known, my sins are all forgiven, I'm on my way to heaven, my heart is overflowing with his joy, joy, joy. He's a God of joy tonight. Then look at verse 15. Thank God tonight, dear friends, he's a God of grace. He's a God of grace tonight. Oh, what a thought for you and for me this evening, friends. This God, God of peace, God of glory, a God of love, a God of reconciliation, a God of joy, is a God of grace tonight. See, tonight, dear friends, grace is the opposite to mercy. Mercy is getting something we don't deserve. Grace is getting, maybe I've got it the wrong way around. Grace is getting something we don't deserve. Mercy is not getting something that we do deserve tonight. He's a God of grace tonight, friends. That's why we're able to sing here tonight. Looking at the picture of him earlier on in the back of the church. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Can we see this tonight, friends? There's nothing in the sinful man tonight that should cause God to take that sinful man out of the depths of sin, dear friends, and bring him through the cross of Calvary and bring him to glory tonight. Other than the grace of God tonight, grace, God's grace that is greater than all my sin tonight, friend. Look out in your buildings tonight. Look down the street, the public house where the people are meeting there. Look down the shops down here in a little complex coming up. Look at the homes tonight, the television's on tonight. They're steeped in sin in your buildings tonight, as they are tonight, dear friends, throughout the world. Steeped in sin. But listen, friends, tonight, the grace of God is greater than all the sin tonight. We'll see that here in a moment or two. God's grace tonight, dear friends, can reach down into the very depths of sin, right down into the depths of despair tonight, and touch the heart of man through convicting power of God, the Holy Spirit, and lift them out of those depths of sin tonight and set them in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. What a thought tonight, friends, for us. That's the giver of the gift tonight. I want us to see the ground very quickly, the ground in which the gift is given. It's given on the grace of God. Can we see that tonight, friends? I'm sure, like myself, over the Christmas period there, you've been out and about. You've seen the hustle and the bustle in the supermarkets. You see the different things on the television, the little nativity scenes that are there. Nobody ever stops to think, dear friend, the importance and the meaning of it. Whenever we look at that little infant in Bethlehem's manger, what does it tell us? It tells us about the grace of God. It tells us tonight, dear friends, that our God is a gracious God to such an extent that he took his well-beloved only begotten Son and he caused him to be conceived of the Holy Ghost and be born in a to be born of a virgin and be laid in a manger. Grace of God tonight. Not only do we see this God, the giver, friends, now I want you to see tonight, dear friends, the subjects of this grace. Who this grace is for. Look at the verses. Verse 6 tells me, someone who is without strength. That just simply means tonight, dear friends, someone who is helpless. Ever see a little baby? Newborn baby lying on a cot, lying in his mother's arms. It's helpless. It can do nothing for itself. It's completely dependent upon his mother or some other adult, dear friends, to come along and care for it and nurture it and nurse it, bring it up. That's the picture that we have here. Those who are without strength. And what does it mean, friends? It means they don't have any strength to save themselves. You cannot save yourself tonight. If you're here tonight and you're not saved in this little gathering, dear friends, you cannot save yourself tonight. This gift is for the strengthless tonight, the weak people tonight, those tonight, dear friends, that are struggling with sin. Look out in the streets. Look at the public houses tonight. You see homes that are wrecked, marriages that are wrecked, families broken up, children left and abandoned, as it were, out in the street. People that are helpless tonight. So we see, first of all, those that are without strength, that's who this gift of grace is for. And then there's another word in there, and it covers everybody tonight, friends. Sinners. Sinners tonight. This grace is especially for sinners tonight. Oh, can we see this little picture? I trust I can paint it well tonight for you, dear friends. If you're a sinner tonight, in this little gathering, and you're struggling with sin, and you don't seem to be able to get your head, as it were, above it, and there's a conflict in your life, there's a battle in your life there, and you can't get over the sin. This grace is for you tonight, friends. I don't care tonight how deep you might be in sin. I don't care tonight what your past might be. I don't care tonight, dear friends, what the devil might bring before you in this year in which we've entered. This grace of God tonight is so great that it can take care of all your sin tonight. Sinners tonight, we sing that lovely hymn, Sinners Jesus Will Receive. Yeah. Grace is a charming sound. That's what we're singing about a moment or two ago. This is good news tonight for sinful man. This is good news tonight, dear friends, for the people in your buildings and the people down around yonder and this McCarlin right through the city tonight. This God's grace tonight is for sinners. Can they all say tonight, grasp the truth of that? This evidence tonight, that little infant there in Bethlehem's manger, what was the purpose of him coming there? Because he's a picture tonight, he is God's grace, and God has sent that grace down into Bethlehem that he might go to the cross for sinners tonight. Isn't it a terrible pity tonight, dear friends, that people don't realize that? Oh, they're happy to accept the Christmas story, yes. They're happy to get from the month of October, the supermarket shelves are full of things for Christmas. Watching the people going out with the tollies there in Tesco's 2 or 3 weeks before Christmas. Several people could hardly see over the top of the curtains of drink that was on the tolly. Steeped in sin. No thought about the grace of God. No thought about this infant in Bethlehem's manger. What about the office parties tonight? Sinners. That's who God's grace is for tonight. And I just want to take a little verse here. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous tonight. But having said that tonight, dear friends, God's grace tonight is greater than all our sins. Verse 10 tells me something else. Who this grace is for. It's for the enemies of God. See, if you're a sinner tonight, and I don't know who I'm speaking to in this meeting, and I thank God for that. I love to go into places when I don't know the people because nobody can accuse me of pointing the finger at any particular person or in any particular direction. If you're a sinner tonight, dear friends, you're an enemy of God. You're an enemy of the Creator tonight. You're an enemy tonight of the Almighty. That's not my word tonight, dear friends. That's what we've been reading together here in Romans chapter 5. To be an enemy with God, to have God tonight as an enemy. Think about that tonight. The Creator tonight, the Sustainer of all things. You're an enemy of His tonight. Look at the verse, what it says in that verse again there. Verse 10. For when we were enemies, when you're not saved tonight, friends, you don't have God as your friend. I would like tonight to be able to stand up here and tell you that you have, but I would be lying tonight if I told you that. Because the Word of God tells me here, if I'm not saved tonight, I am an enemy of God. And that's a terrible position to be in tonight. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, that's a terrible position for you to be in tonight. To be an enemy of the Almighty. To be an enemy tonight of the Creator of the universe. Friends, tonight, the breath that you have in your body and your lungs tonight belongs to you. The next breath belongs to the Lord. And you may never get that next breath, friends, tonight. Because you are an enemy to God. Look at the verse. Read the verse. If you're not reading it, if you're not following tonight in your Bible, you go home, get out your Bible and read Romans chapter 5. It says there, when we were enemies, you're not saved tonight, you're an enemy of God. Oh, dear friends, can I say this tonight? You're treading on dangerous ground tonight, dear unsaved person in this meeting. You're treading on unsaved ground tonight. I want to see something else in that verse in there. Look at what it says in verse 12. Verse 12, let me see if I can get it here. Wherefore by one man sin and into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. What's it tell me in this verse 12 here? It tells me here that I'm dead in sin. Dead son. Can you see it tonight, friend? To be dead in sin. What does it mean tonight to be dead in sin? It's just something it means this night, dear friends. There's no spiritual life in you. You're dead in sin tonight. If I was to go into Ephesians chapter 2, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. That's who this gift is for tonight. Those that are dead in sin. Think of that picture tonight. Can you see that? Can you see that? Oh, friends, I shudder when I think about it just now. To be dead in sin. Not knowing where you're going to get your next breath. Should the Lord prevent you from taking the next breath into your lungs, friend, and you'd be dead in sin, you'll leave a scene of time, you'll go into a lost eternity. To be dead in sin. You'll die in your sin and you'll go to a lost eternity tonight. What a picture we have for you in these verses. You see, friends, tonight, Paul's very strong in the gospel in Romans. From Romans chapter 1 right through. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation tonight. verse 10. Separated from God. But then I wanted to see how the situation changes here. Notice what it says then in verse 17. Talks about an abundance of grace. Isn't that lovely, isn't it? That word abundance of emphasis and word friends, you know what it simply means? It just means that this grace cannot be measured. Cannot measure God's grace tonight. Cannot be measured at all. Can we just see this for a moment or two this evening, friends? Grace, that is greater than all my sin tonight. I don't care tonight how far a person might be down in the depth of sin, down in the depth of despair tonight, friends. God's grace is greater than that. Greater than all my sin tonight. Oh, friends, can we just, should you forget about everything else tonight that happens in this meeting, friends? Would you just take this little thought home with you tonight? God's grace is greater than my sin. It's amazing grace tonight. Amazing. That's why John Newton, the old slave tailor, read the words of that lovely hymn. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. It's an amazing grace tonight. Abundance of grace. Look at verse 20. And I think we've got a beautiful battle on our hands here in verse 20. Look at verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. Can we see the conflict now? There's a battle here. See it in that word outside tonight, friends. Take this little sphere that you and I live on tonight. And sin abounds in it tonight, friends. You cannot argue with that. Look at that 27-year-old girl there, just I think around about the Christmas time, that landscape gardener, that landscape architect there. Come from the office party, went down to the pub, had a few drinks in the pub, made her way home. They found her body. Sin abounds, yes, of course it does. Sin abounds tonight, friends. Pick up your papers, watch your television screen, listen to the news tonight. You'll see sin abounds tonight. That's what it's telling us here in verse 20. There's no doubt about that tonight in my mind. And there's no doubt in that, about that tonight, the offense according to the word of God or in the mind of God tonight. Sin abounds in this world that you and I live in tonight. Think of the young people coming up. Think of our children coming up tonight, friends. Look back over your lifetime. Look back over my lifetime. What was the world like then? Innocence, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look at it now. Young woman, not safety walker streets. Look at it now. I want you to think about something, friends. You see, sin is a boiling. It started off, first of all, with the sin of man in Genesis. It's getting deeper and higher and higher and higher, dear friend. Where's it going to end up? It's going to end up with a man of sin, isn't that right? That's according to Scripture. Sin's a boiling tonight, friends. But according to this book here, where sin does abound, grace does much more. But I want to keep coming on that thought tonight because it's an important thought for you and for me, friends, this evening. And verse 21 speaks about the submission of grace so that grace might reign. Dear friends, the day will come when grace will reign. Praise the Lord tonight for that. Praise the Lord for that tonight, friends. There's a day will come, and day will come whenever the Lord Jesus comes back again. Whenever he takes his church to be with himself, grace will reign. Grace will reign, dear friends, supreme, whenever the Lord comes back again. So we have looked, first of all, at the giver. We have looked at the gift, the grace. And then we looked at the gift. We want us to see the Lord Jesus, the gift here, in verse 15 to 17, very quickly. The gift of the Lord Jesus there tells me, first of all, that he was a promised gift. Remember Genesis chapter 3, verse 15? It says, he shall bruise the head of the woman. Remember? The head of the serpent, rather. He is the promised gift. And dear friends, he's a precious gift tonight. There's a lovely hymn. Jesus, my Savior, is precious to me. Precious to me. Jesus, my Savior, is precious to me. He's a precious gift tonight. Not only that, dear friends, but he's a provided gift. He provides for you and I tonight. Whenever you and I come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus, we're not abandoned there tonight. This is the beauty of this gospel message, friends. This is the beauty of the gospel message. Whenever we come with simple childlike faith to the foot of a cross and put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not abandoned there, friends, tonight. He's provided for us there. And I want to just do it very, very quickly. Verse 1, he's provided peace with God. The conflict's over now. We talked about it earlier on. He provides peace tonight with God for you and for me. What a relationship tonight to know that our sins are forgiven and we're no more enemies with God, but we're now at peace with God. And God's at peace with us. We've got this unity and that's communion tonight, that fellowship tonight. And then look at verse 2. We have access to God tonight. That a wonderful privilege for us this evening, child of God. We have access to God tonight. How have we access to God tonight? Through prayer, through faith in our Lord Jesus this evening. Come unto me, all ye that labour under heavy laden. We have access to God tonight. That we never could approach a holy God were it not for the fact that His grace was given to us at Calvary. We cannot approach a holy God any other way except we come through the blood and through the name of our Lord Jesus. There are people tonight, dear friends, in churches all over the place, and they think they're worshiping God. They're not. Their words don't go any higher than the roof of the building. You can only approach God tonight through the merits of the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. No other way tonight. And if you look at verse 6 and verse 8, verse 9 and verse 10, I'll just take the one of them here, verse 6. It says, for when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 8, but God commended his love towards while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 10, for when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. That's the gospel tonight, friends. That's the salvation tonight that we have here. And then look at verse 21. Look at the blessing that we have, verse 21. We've got eternal life. Eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful privilege then, isn't it? To have eternal life. Life, life, eternal life. Jesus alone is the giver. Life, life, eternal life. Glory to God be forever. He gives us eternal life tonight. What a difference, dear friends, from enemies with God. Now God has given us eternal life here. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Very, very quickly, verse 15 again, we see the glory of the gift there. Hath abounded unto many. Hath abounded unto many. Well, look at that tonight. Great multitude that no man can number tonight, dear friends. Some are ready in the glory. Some of us still on earth tonight, waiting for the call of death, if you like. Or waiting for the sound of the trumpet tonight to leave the scene of pain behind us. This gift, has abounded unto many tonight, dear friend. There'll not be an empty place in heaven. There won't be. It'll be full tonight. Very, very quickly, verse 15, the graciousness of the gift. We've looked at it already. We've mentioned it there. It's a free gift tonight. You just have to take it. Someone come to you at Christmas time and went out there and bought gifts and bought presents. Brought it to your home and gave it to you. What did you do with it? You didn't refuse it, no. You put it your hand and you took it. And God is saying to you tonight, He says, here's my free gift. I want to give you the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want you to come tonight and take that free gift. What would you do? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will He do with me? It's a free gift tonight, friends. I know people tonight, dear friends, and they're fairly well off. And if they could buy salvation, they would buy it. They could afford it tonight. If they could buy it. But it can't be bought tonight. You cannot buy a free gift, friends. This is God's gift. He gives us this gift of grace. He gives us this gift of the Son. And through the grace we have the Son, and through the Son we've got eternal life tonight. That's God's order tonight, friends. You can't sidestep that tonight. That's the way it has to be. That's the way it has to be. Through the grace, we have the Son. Having received the Son, we receive eternal life. Cannot be bought tonight. Cannot be bought tonight. I just want to close with one verse. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, you don't have to look it up. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved tonight. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me say this to you tonight, dear friends, in love. No one else can save you tonight. You cannot be saved tonight by anyone else. I know that there are those who teach that you can go to the priest, or you can go to the Pope, or the priest or the Pope, or somebody else, some of the saints or whatever. Friends, those people tonight cannot save you. If you're dependent on somebody like that tonight for your salvation, friends, you're a candidate for a lost eternity. I remember speaking to a young lady one night, and after a meeting, she came to me after a meeting, and I was speaking to her. She asked me if I could speak, and I was talking to her. We talked to her for quite some time. But that young lady, as far as I know, never come through for the Lord. But I'll never forget what she said to me. She says, "You know, Harry," she says, "there was a time when I felt," she says, "I wanted to get saved." And she says, "I went to my minister. And she says, my minister told me that I didn't need to get saved, that whenever I was baptized as an infant, I was saved." To the best of my knowledge, that young woman never came to save in faith in Christ. Friends, tonight, you'll not be saved through your baptism. And you'll not be saved through your good works. So many people depend tonight on that infant baptism. You'll not be saved in your baptism. You'll not be saved in your good works. The only way you'll be saved here, friends, is whenever you come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved tonight. Oh, can we take that message home with us this evening, friends, if you're here and you're not saved? No one else can save you tonight. Jesus, a lovely hymn. Jesus, thou art everything to me. Jesus, thou art everything to me. All my lasting joys are found in thee. Jesus, thou art everything to me. Can you sing that tonight? Have you accepted the gift tonight? The gift of God's grace. The gift of God's Son. The gift of eternal life. God's offering that to you tonight. He's the giver of that tonight. Life, eternal life. Jesus alone is the giver. Life, abundant life. Glory to God be forever tonight. Listen, friends. Maybe you're young here tonight. I don't know. Maybe you're young. You're out in the world. You're enjoying the pleasures of the world. I can tell you something tonight, friend, for I've been there. I know what the world's like tonight, and it's a lot worse now than it was whenever I was a lot younger. I can tell you that also. But I do know this tonight, dear friends, there's no pleasures in the world. Jesus, thou art everything to me. Jesus, thou art everything to me. All my lasting joys are found in thee. Jesus, thou art everything to me. He's offering you tonight, dear friends, through grace. He's offering you tonight as only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be your Savior. And having accepted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, he's also offering you tonight eternal life. Do you want eternal life tonight? What about after death? Talk to the man on the street. He'll laugh at you. What's the point of talking about death, Harry? You're morbid. You're putting things in front of us, Harry, here that we don't even want to think about. Of course you don't want to think about it. But friends, tonight you can run, but you can't hide from the fact that everyone will die if you're not saved before the Lord doesn't take us back again. Do you want this eternal life then? That's the question tonight you have to answer. That's the question tonight that the Lord brings before you here in Romans, that Paul brings before us here in Romans tonight. Do you want eternal life? Or would you prefer eternal death? That's the question. Friends, you can't skip around that question tonight. You cannot jump over tonight. You can't hide from it tonight. You're going to have to face it. You have to face up to reality here. Eternal life or eternal death. My time's gone. Let's close together in prayer.